We're continuing our journey into awakening joy. How many of you got the book? Good. Oh, much better. The first service, they were pretty wimpy. There wasn't too many there. And this is a really a fabulous book on awakening the joy that's already there. Sometimes it's a little dormant. But it's also a beautiful teaching from our Buddhist brothers and sisters. And I don't know about you, but if I wasn't a Unity minister, I might be a Buddhist monk. I look great in orange. Yeah, there it is, right there. That's right. Yeah, absolutely. So today we're talking a little bit about a grateful heart, a joyful heart, and how do we sort of move into that place of gratitude. And isn't it lovely that we could talk about gratitude and it's not even Thanksgiving? Yes. Right? We don't have to wait till November to talk about gratitude. It's an important part of our practice, and I know it is of yours as well. But there can be times in our lives and when the world is in its sort of confusion and chaos, as it could be, and if our focus is out there in the world, that our gratitude meter can go down a little bit. Yeah? You know? Yes. Yeah, so it's a time to sort of remind us for that. But what does gratitude feel like in your body? What does it feel like?
Happy.
Happy, joy? Tickly? Somebody say tickly? Tickly? Tingly? Ah. Yeah. It just sort of puts a smile on your face, doesn't it? You know? And there's moments in my life when the smile makes all the difference in the world to see it from someone else. And haven't you talked to somebody, you know, and you say, so how you doing? And they say, I'm fine. I'm great. So tell your face, you know? It's not there, you know? So gratitude sort of bubbles up, doesn't it? When we're feeling this sense of gratitude, it comes out from every place in us. Yeah. And it's not really a thought as much as it is an experience of being grateful. Yes?
Yes.
So in the book that James Baraj wrote, The Awakening Joy, he asked his students, so what does it feel like to be in gratitude? And they said, well, I breathe more deeply. I feel a glow in my chest, a tingly in my fingers, and a smile appears on my face. Effortless. It feels like a blanket of goodness descending upon me. It makes me feel loved by God. And I feel like my body is resting on the perfect pillow created to hold all of me. Isn't that sweet? So what gets in the way of gratitude? Fear, yes. And thinking, stories. Yeah. Boy, I'm hearing a whole lot of information, but I'm not taking it all in, so.
All the networks.
All the networks, okay. Yeah, so the news out there can really squelch our gratitude. And also the belief that I must complete a list of to-dos, right? All the doing that we feel like we need to do in the world, you know, don't we have that list and we just like, you know, I am so important that I have this entire list of things to do. And if they don't get done, the world could just stop any moment. And although that's funny, you know, there's something inside of us sometimes that sort of panics, right? If all those things don't get done, as though the world's going to come to an end or something terrible will happen. But it usually doesn't, right? We've noticed that we still have some mostly that list the next day, and life is still pretty good. I remember working with one of my board members years ago, and when I was up in Tahoe, and she was the director of records at the hospital, Barton Hospital. And so she asked me to come in and do some work with her team. They were struggling on how to really find joy. And she said, well, why don't you come and bring your Unity teachings? I know it's going to be helpful. So I did. I came and started the teaching, and I really could feel the difference between the congregation and just the people out there. You know what I'm talking about? I call it the wild. You know, it's just the regular people, you know, because I have the sheltered life of working with amazing people like yourselves, where our consciousness level is here. So when I'm talking with you and, you know, teaching, it's not that difficult, you know, for us to connect and communicate, because our consciousness is here, yes?
Yes.
So when you walk into another environment where they don't understand the oneness, you know, of life, that there's a divinity in each person, that I'm here to be an expression of the divine and be peaceful and compassionate, and that I want for your good. Those are foreign ideas, you know, to these people. So they're fighting. And so we were talking about awakening joy. I was reading that in our church at the time. And so she said, you know, we struggle with getting all of our work done. So what we did was we worked on a list that said, what did it say? Here it is. Finding joy in the unfinished work. Yeah. Finding joy in the unfinished work. Because it's never ending, right? There's just always going to be an endless task or an endless project, or is just to celebrate the day. So that's what I got to teach them. And because basically, we can always find a reason to complain and to find what's broken, missing, or not working, right? So the tendency in cultivating gratitude is to sort of do the opposite, is just to pause in the moment, whether you're at the end of the to-do list or not, and just give thanks for whatever is before you. So I know that there's going to be gratitude squelchers out there. And part of what we get to do is just know that whoever is before us is there to support our journey of awakening. Yes?
Yes?
Yes. And to find our way, you know, with them. And to know that at some level, we're drawn together until, you know, we find a way apart. But there's a beautiful story in the book about focusing our attention on what we want that expands, right? That's what we believe, that what we focus our attention on expands. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. So if we're always looking at what's missing, broken, and not working, guess what we're getting? More of that. So part of it is looking on what is working. But there's this story about Mulla Nasruddin. What's that?
Nasruddin.
Is that what it is?
Yes,
Nasruddin. Thank you. Nasruddin. So you must be Sufi.
One of my favorites.
Okay, good. So it's from the Sufi tradition. And Mulla and his donkey frequently crossed the border between Persia and Turkey, when it was Persia. Over at that time, there was a customs official that noticed that Mulla seemed to be getting increasingly richer from the clothes that he was wearing and the perfume that he had on. And so they would search him thoroughly, along with the donkey that he would bring, But they would find nothing. And so months would go by. And so finally, this retired custom official sees a mullah in the market and asks, you know, I now have a generous pension, I'm retired, and I really want nothing from you. But I would love to know, what were you smuggling across the border all those months that we never found anything on you or your donkey? I swear I won't tell anyone. So Mullah looks at him with this mischievous grin and replies, donkeys. Right? So often the precious riches we are looking for are right under our noses, right? That we find valuable gifts in the most unexpected places. And sometimes, you know, they're hidden inside the challenges we face. Yes? And in the moment, it's really hard to see that. I know 8 or 10 years ago, my sister went through a really difficult divorce. It just broke her heart, you know. And she had 3 children, and she was a fundamental Christian who just didn't believe in divorce. So it went against everything she believed in, and plus she loved this man. So for several years, we just held her, you know. But there was times when she just didn't know how she would get through this experience. But over time, she did. A piece of her came back, you know, with every day, a small piece. And now she is the happiest, most engaged, vibrant woman with a new career. She knows who she is. And it's such a blessing. And I really know that had she stayed with this man, that her life would have been very different, you know. And she was never that happy, you know, when they were together. So it turned out to be this amazing blessing. And whenever I visit her, I love being with her because she's so joyful. And we go into restaurants or wherever we're going. Everyone knows my sister. And she remembers everyone's name and everything about them. You know, they have conversations about 25 years ago, and I don't have a memory like that. That's why she has all those friends I know. But she's blissfully happy. So we never know how God will bless us through the tragedies, to stay present. Saying yes to life. I loved David, how he was saying yes to everything. And you know that's my favorite word. And in the book, it actually has a little thing in here, say yes to life. But I'm going to have to put my glasses on. Will you forgive me? They, my really cute ones. Thank you. My really cute ones I lost, so I have to wear these. But okay, we often think if only life were a little different, better, easier, more comfortable, more in my favor, then I would feel joy. We hold our joy out there, like a carrot stick, saying, "When I get through this conflict with my boss, my mother, then maybe I'll have a moment of joy. And when I get past my depression or my despair or my loneliness," but the potential for joy is always present. And the key to accessing it is saying yes to whatever is true in this moment, whether or not we like it or what's going on or whether or not we expected it. So think of something in your life that you're not too happy about. Perhaps a conflict, a health issue, something you wish had not appeared. Without any judgment, notice your first reaction. Then try to say yes to the situation. And notice what happens inside you. What you're experiencing may not be what you wanted or expected, but saying yes can empower you and give you the courage to handle whatever is on your plate. And I believe that. I love this quote I got from a friend of mine years ago. Whenever I'm feeling worried or doubt, it reminds me to say, I will be what tomorrow demands. I will be that. Whatever comes in front of me, God has already supplied my good for me. Is to know that whatever comes, I will know in that moment what to do. Maybe not a second before, but it will be there. Doesn't it show up? Yes, it does. Well, I have a film, a little short video that I wanted to play for you by one of my most treasured spiritual teachers, Brother David Stindl Rost, who is a Benedict monk. And just the sweetness of him and just his words. He doesn't have to say, doesn't matter what words he uses, he just exudes gratitude. So let's show that clip.
You think this is just another day in your life? It's not just another day. It's the one day that is given to you today. It's given to you. It's a gift. It's the only gift that you have right now, and the only appropriate response is gratefulness. If you do nothing else but to cultivate that response to the great gift that this unique day is, if you learn to respond as if it were the first day in your life, and the very last day, then you will have spent this day very well. Begin by opening your eyes and be surprised that you have eyes you can open. That incredible array of colors that is constantly offered to us for pure enjoyment. Look at the sky. We so rarely look at the sky. We so rarely note how different it is from moment to moment with clouds coming and going. We just think of the weather. And even of the weather, we don't think of all the many nuances of weather. We just think of good weather and bad weather. This day, right now, it's unique weather. Maybe a kind that will never exactly in that form come again. The formation of clouds in the sky will never be the same that is right now. Open your eyes, look at that. Look at the faces of people whom you meet. Each one has an incredible story behind their face. Story that you could never fully fathom. Not only their own story, but the story of their ancestors. We all go back so far. And in this present moment, on this day, all the people you meet, all that life from generations and from so many places all over the world, flows together and meets you here like a life-giving water if you only open your heart and drink. open your heart to the incredible gifts that civilization gives to us. You flip a switch and there is electric light. You turn a faucet and there is warm water and cold water and drinkable water. It's a gift that millions and millions in the world will never experience. So these are just a few of an enormous number of gifts to which we can open your heart. And so I wish you that you will open your heart to all these blessings and let them flow through you, that everyone whom you will meet on this day will be blessed by you. Just by your eyes, by your smile, by your touch, just by your presence. Let the gratefulness overflow into blessing all around you. And then it will really be a good day.
And so you are a blessing. Just your presence here is a blessing. So turn to your neighbor and just look at them in the eye and go, I am so blessed by you. Say that. Okay. So we filled this room with gratitude, with love, with the energy of appreciation. And what I know is with a grateful heart, we're each of us can face more difficulties when we support one another, when we cultivate that energy of compassion for one another to support each other on this journey. And we can realize what we're going through and be a part of this awakening, which is the ripening of ourselves into our own wisdom and nobility. So that's what this is about, this journey of awakening. And we can do it with great joy and gratitude, or we can do it with a lot of pain and suffering. And some of us have tried both ways. One's a little more fun than the other. So we can be conscious. Einstein said there are two ways to live your life. One is though nothing is a miracle, and the other is that everything is a miracle. Everything. Like the turning of the water on the faucet, you know, just being alive and here, and everything's a miracle. So that's the great joy and the great blessing, is to stay present to love. That you and I are an embodiment of the one presence here to be compassion in action. So let's pray. Blessed Spirit, we are blessed and grateful for these teachings and this ministry and each one here, that we are blessed by their presence just by being here today. That the energy and the light that they shine creates this wonderful space for us to be in even greater presence here on earth. So thank you, Spirit, for guiding each one of us to be a presence of light, to shine the light of truth, to support our brothers and sisters on this journey of awakening. We are awakening to our own joy, the joy of the divinity within. And for that, we say thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. Okay, so we have an affirmation we're going to do together. It is, I am a divine expression of compassion and action, and I am grateful. I added that. So let's say this together. I am a divine expression of compassion in action. Yes. I am grateful.